Sometimes Forex trading is a wild and woolly place to be. That's why Hugh's here, to pose your questions to Walter, the naked Forex guy. Hugh's got questions, and Walter's got the answers. Here at the Truth About FX podcast.
Hey, Walter, how do you know how far the market will go? How do you know where to place your profit target?
This is a really interesting question, and I've been discussing this with other traders because it kind of gets into the philosophy that you hold as a trader. The way that I approach it, which is not necessarily the right way for everyone, is that I have a belief that the market has a memory and that there are places on the charts where price repeatedly reverses. It goes to a high that it's been to before, and it pulls away from that and starts trading lower. Likewise, it'll go to a low that it remembers from sometime historically, and then it'll start trading higher. So I believe that it bounces off those levels. And sometimes it'll go to a level and stop there and wait and pause and sort of gear up for a burst through the level. So that's how I trade. So really what I'm doing as a trader is I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, doing a lot of waiting for the market to get to one of these levels, print a pattern, you know, a naked Forex reliable pattern that I know I've tested and I'm comfortable with. And that pattern tells me whether the market's going to reverse at that level or whether it's going to break through that level. So that's really how I trade. Now, the question about targets comes in, and my belief is that once the market either reverses off one of these support and resistance levels or breaks through one of these support and resistance levels, it is now attracted. It's almost like there's a magnet at the next level. So price naturally will find itself attracted to that next level. So my targets are pretty clear. They've got to be the next level or the level after that if I'm going to get really aggressive and I'm going to assume that the market will break through and keep going after the first level. And sometimes you have to go for the second level and not the first level just because of the reward to risk ratio. So you have to assume that the market will continue onward. And I'll often move my stop loss to break even if I'm concerned about it coming back or something like that. To me, break even trades aren't that big of a deal. But so I guess this long-winded answer to your question, Hugh, is that I believe that it goes to these specific spots on the chart. Now, some traders that's not going to jive with you, and that may not make sense to you. If that's you, then perhaps what you need to do is adopt a different approach. It may be that you watch the market and you decide yourself when the market's going to turn around. Maybe you use a reversal signal. So you get into a trade and you try to milk it for everything it's worth and you wait for a reversal signal. Or maybe you use a trailing exit where the market basically, your system has a stop loss that follows the market as it keeps going in your favor, and eventually it'll turn around enough to kick you out of the trade, right? Trend followers are pretty, you know, they're well known for that sort of stuff. They're well known for using those types of exits for really bagging really big winners. So it kind of gets into the meat of trading, because I think that when you get advanced as a trader, you start to see that your entry strategies or your reasons for getting to a trade are not necessarily as critical as how you get out of a trade. So whether or not you decide to use support and resistance or a trailing exit, or maybe you just use kind of a really simple way, is just based on how far the market goes. Okay, so let's say that you're trading the euro and you notice the euro tends to move on most days about 110 pips. Well, then what you can do, and the way that you would do that, of course, if you want to use an indicator, is you can use the average true range, put that up on your chart, maybe use a 10-day period. So the last 10 days, which would be two trading weeks on the euro approximately, then you've got about how far you expect in pips the market to go each day. So you could do something like that where you go, well, it's 110 pips on the euro, and I expect my trade to go about 3 days worth of euro movement. So I'm going to take a target of a 330 pips. You know, you could do something like that as well. So there are many different approaches, but it really comes down to you need to have control over your profit target, which is kind of the way I trade, which is I think I have this philosophy that the market's going to go to a support and resistance level. So that's why I have my targets there. Or if you're okay with the style of trading that the trend followers often use, which is you let the market dictate that. If the market's going to really take off and give you a gift, then you're happy to go with that. You know what I mean? So you know, it depends. I mean, I don't know. How do you do it? Do you do a little bit of both, or do you use trailing exits, or how do you do it?
I use a little bit of both. Just depends on the method. But I prefer the way you do it, just targeting specific levels or the next level. Just out of curiosity, do you just look for a one-to-one risk reward minimum, or do you not care?
Yeah, so this is one thing that a lot of my students have trouble with. And the reason why they have trouble with this is oftentimes they'll look at my trade and they'll say, Walter, you're on this daily. Let's say you're trading the pound Aussie. Okay, the pound Aussie is pretty volatile, right? So you've got 350 pip stop on the pound Aussie, Walter, and your target is only 300 pips away. So that's not one-to-one. Okay, and that's true. That's valid. I don't disagree with that. That's absolutely true. Let's say I have two targets. One's 300 pips away, and another one is, let's say, 500 pips away. Okay, so it's better than one-to-one, but not quite two-to-one. So some traders will come to me, and they'll say, look, Walter, you're risking 350 pips, and you're only going for 300, and you know this just doesn't jive with me. Okay, so what I'll typically say is, I understand, that makes sense. However, if you go back and look at my trades historically, what you'll find is I rarely ever have a losing trade where it hits my full stop level. So in other words, if this pound Aussie trade goes totally pear-shaped, I'm more likely to get out at, let's say, a loss of 270 pips or 250 pips rather than the full 350. So even though if I hit target one, my reward risk ratio is like 0.85 or something like that. It's not quite one to one, right? If you look at the way that I get out of losing trades, I rarely let it go all the way and hit my stop loss. It's usually, when that happens, it's usually because I'm sleeping. So it's a little bit misleading. I still calculate the R, which of course is that ratio for a trade between what was risked and what was gained. So when you see my Rs, you'll see things on target one like 0.8, 0.75, 0.92. I think I just had one this week where it hit my first target and it was 0.92. So it wasn't quite 0.1 or 1.0, I should say. So I mean, that's a fair argument. But the other thing that you can do if you trade like I do is you can just ignore target one. If your target one is only at 0.75 R, or you're making 75 cents for every dollar at risk, then that's fine. You just go for target two and go for the 1.6 R, you know what I mean? Or something like that. The problem when you start doing that is your win rate comes way down. So, you know, it's a trade-off in trading between having really tight stops or really aggressive targets. Either way, what that does is that increases your reward to risk ratio. But if you have really aggressive targets that are very far from your entry price, the chances of you hitting that are reduced. And so your win rate is also going to be subsequently reduced. So it's kind of a balance between how often do you want to be right versus how much money do you want to make when you are right. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think for some traders, it makes sense to actually have targets on some of your positions on a trade, like maybe half have targets and the other half of your position uses a trailing exit or just a super aggressive target so that you will occasionally, maybe three times out of 10, get that really aggressive target or that really long runner that you can capture with a trailing exit. So, yeah, I mean, I understand that, you know, that it's a common criticism of the way that I trade, and I completely understand. I just think that there are ways around it. You know, if you don't want to do it that way, go for the more aggressive target. Go for target two. You know, I always have two targets on my trades. But the other way to do it is, like I say, you can split it up and you can use a trailing exit on half and then use a target on the other. What do you do with your trades?
I like the two targets. I generally look for 1-to-1 on the first. If not, I'll usually pass. But yeah, it works pretty well for me, but I don't usually exit early unless I know that it's, you know, it's really going downhill fast. So that's what I do.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I mean, because what that means for you then is that your R that you calculate on any given trade is pretty true to what was at risk, right? Whereas when I calculate my R, it's not really that. I mean, if you look back this year, for example, my trades, I think you'll find less than three that hit the full stop, right? Like, I think there's only two. There might have been three that hit the full stop. My other losers would have been less than the full 100% at risk. So, you know, calculating that R is a little bit misleading, but I still do it because you never know what's going to happen on any given trade. And in fact, to be completely honest, you and I both know that if we're in a trade, the market could go beyond our amount at risk. We can get gapped. We could, our broker could slip us horrendously, like what happened with the Franco-geddon thing, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, all that stuff is totally in play, you know. So just because you got a stop loss doesn't mean that's your max risk. So that's another thing to keep in mind, that every, you should expect every 5 years or so, you're going to have a major hit. You know, if you're trading, if you're in the market a lot, you know, probably every 5 years, you're going to get something massive happen to you that's not going to be what you expected. And so, you know, you should really brace for that and anticipate that. So it's a great question. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for the insights. That was awesome.
See you next time.
See ya.